Welcome to the Fat Fueled Family Podcast, where every week we talk about things like nutrition, training,
how to live a healthy and active lifestyle with your little ones, peaceful parenting, education,
and of course, mindset.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Keto Counterculture, at Fat Fueled Mom, and at Fat Fueled Kids, and search for Fat Fueled Family on YouTube.
To stay up to date with everything we're doing, sign up with your email at www.fatfuel.family and check out our blog for workouts, meal ideas, and all the other cool stuff we love to talk about.
Don't forget to hit subscribe.
All right, welcome to the Fat Fueled Family Podcast. My name is Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Maura, who's making fun of my peppiness right now, which, by the way, you guys... My goal, I haven't told you this, but my goal is by January 1st, having these on video. Okay. So we're going to have these podcasts on video. That's my quote unquote New Year's resolution. All we really need is a longer card, like a bigger capacity card for our camera.
Our camera only records like 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah. So, because like, I don't want you guys to miss these faces. Like my wife is literally a cartoon. Like, and she's really skinny now, so her eyeballs are huger. Not in a bad way. Let me take that back, because my wife is like a dude right now. She doesn't want to be small.
I am like a dude. I'm like, I better not lose my gains.
Don't tell me I'm losing my gains. Like, she gets so angry when she loses weight. Like, it's the best thing ever, especially knowing her past, you know, with like...
I know. If it would have been me back then and you would have told me like... You look so skinny. I would have been like, awesome.
Awesome. Perfect. But now she's like, no.
Yeah, but now I know. Now I'm healthy, guys. I'm healthy.
Today's guest is a chiropractor whose mission is to educate his patients about health, feeling better, performing better, looking better, and give them an overall sense of well-being and confidence. He believes that strengthening one's body and mind allows a person to reach their fullest potential in all aspects of life. He's always sharing great tips on improving mobility and function. He's an overall great human being who was kind enough to give our whole family adjustments the last time we were in Ohio visiting Bunker Hill. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jim Morgenstern, DC. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Dude, it's great to have you, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, how you been, man? How you been since the last time we saw you?
Man, I'll tell you what. Things are great. Life's been just busier than heck. Work's going, you know, just through the roof. We've had... probably our busiest month ever. And, as you guys know, I work solo. So, a couple days a week, I'm taking care of folks in the office. A couple days a week, I'm taking care of folks on the road. And then, you know, part of my office, there are administrative stuff that I do. So I'm a one man show, and, I try to make time for family in there somewhere, you know? So,
I know how that is, bro. Trust me. I know how that is.
That's so awesome. And it's freezing, I'm sure, there since the last time we were there. We're from Florida, so it was already freezing for us when we were there.
it's been chilly. Actually, the snow has been pretty minimal, but, and today, obviously, go figure, it's a heat wave. We're at 42, but it's been in the teens for a couple of weeks now. Yeah. So,
Have you had a lot of snow this winter?
No,
it's the winter. Has the winter started, right? When did winter start?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Winter started. I mean, you know, we'll get a little bit here and there. I don't know. I feel like the seasons have shifted a little bit. So January, February have been more, snowy, if you will, than December has been. But as a kid, I don't remember being that way. You know what I mean?
So, I think you're right, man. I think
you mean like it was snowing during December as well? Cause now I feel like it is. It's true. It has shifted. Like the colder months are January and February.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and again, like looking back in fall, cause up here we get the leaves change, which you guys got to see when you were up here.
Oh, beautiful.
But I felt like as a kid, we had like a longer fall season. And then now I feel like it's summer. You get like a week or two of fall, then boom, now you're into this like wintery cold, you know, it's been a little different. But anywho, so weather's great today. And, I was going to lead to one more thing. You guys asked how life's been. We just adopted a puppy. So life's been even crazier. We rescued
a dog. That's like a baby.
He's doing awesome. Yes. So now we have two. So now you
practice,
like you guys,
man.
A little bit.
But if it's a puppy, those are, you know, puppies are like babies. They really are. They like keep
12
you up
weeks
at
old,
night.
Man.
Oh
yeah,
man.
He's 12 weeks old.
So
yeah.
Cute. What kind
he's
of
really
dog?
Puppy. So we have a Labradoodle who will be 6 shortly. And then this new one is also a Labradoodle. He was a rescue. Like they surrendered him at a puppy mill, and, he's been a great match to our family. So he's doing great.
I like
that's
those dogs.
Awesome, dude.
Those dogs are great, and they don't shed.
And that's practice.
Yes.
because there will be, and it won't be far from now. That's what I'm telling
hopefully.
You right now.
Yeah,
I know. Hopefully. I know you're going to have kids. Yeah. So
thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Of course, man. It's going to happen. So I wanted to ask, you know, lead off with, you know, what we always lead off with when we have a guest. And that is, what is the most critical problem you're currently trying to solve?
Man, I knew you guys were going to ask this question, and I feel like I could go so many different routes here, but not to copy Mike Osuna, but I think time management is probably one of those things that especially with the new addition to our family, my days start now at 5 a.m. and, I'm on the morning walk with the pups, you know, 5:30, get them on a 1/2-mile walk. And then that's my time to be selfish. And I'll go train in the morning and get my workout in. I've been doing a 1/2-mile of lunges every day now for about 2 months and to help knee, hip, lower back strength. And
I've seen that.
Man,
it's
been great.
Yeah. Man, that's
well, it's cool.
I've been watching your stories and stuff. I'm like, man, 1/2-mile of lunges. I got to try that.
Yeah. So it was actually one of those things too, where, lunging was one of my weak points. My knees would always hurt. And you know, I'm Mr. Form when it comes to somebody coming in here with mobility issues, or let's say their movement patterns aren't exactly, the purest they can be. I can break down anybody, but then, you know, you try to pick yourself apart and you're like, you're your worst patient, basically.
Oh,
so,
dude,
anyways.
Yeah. The coaches and doctors are their worst athletes and patients. That's for sure, man.
Yeah. And I put everybody else first, you know, so then when it comes to me, I'm like, well, I need to do something about this. So lunges were always a challenge. And so I just started doing them and I hit, for some reason, 1/2-mile a day. It typically takes me between 25 and 30 minutes. And then I'll go hit my workout. But by that point, my joints aren't stiff anymore. They feel warmed up. I feel more focused. I feel locked in. And it's just one of those things too, where you just can check it off for the day. You feel accomplished. And then whatever the next task at hand is, we just go spearhead that. So whether it's work or go hit the workout, or maybe it's a weekend and I'll just start hanging out with the family. But anyway, so, back to time management. So that's been like, I've been trying to get all my stuff out of the way in the morning. And then whether it's work or it's hanging out with the family, I feel like there's just not enough time in the day. So you just need to start appreciating how to maximize the time that we do get. In a nutshell, I feel like that's a huge thing. Obviously, like for my day-to-day life, the biggest problem to, I feel like if I could just take everyone's pain away, right? You know, like if I could actually fix everyone the first time they walk in. I do spend a lot more time with my patients per visit and they do get better faster, but I feel like there's always that client that walks in that wants to be fixed yesterday, you know? So,
yeah, man.
I think it's just trying to serve as many people as I can with, you know, giving them the care they deserve. That's really my bottom line. I love what I do. And I think, just reaching out on a platform like this, I can't thank you guys enough to, hopefully this will open up some folks' eyes about how chiropractic can help them and their families.
Well, dude, I can tell, man, the time that we spent with you, your bedside manner, the way you spoke to us and the way you spoke to the kids, it was, you know, it's obvious that there's a passion there and it's obvious that you do spend more time with your patients too, man. And that,
it's so important to like educate too, you know, not just like adjust and say, be back in a week.
Yes.
You know,
exactly. Yes. Yeah. Because you know what the word, you know? Yeah. Well, the word doctor means teacher. And if you're not teaching your patients how to take care of themselves on their own, then really you're just creating a comeback customer that is dependent upon you to fix all their issues. But if you can hold them accountable and teach them ways to get better, then that's how you can really fix somebody. And then maybe they can show someone else at their local CrossFit or at their local gym or at their office on how to, you know, change this ergonomic or fix this, you know, positioning. And so it's a domino effect, but I think, you know, it's one of those things where, like you said, I really do pride myself on that bedside manner. I love it. So thank you for the kind words.
Of course, man.
Yeah, that's, and I love that you said doctor means teacher. Like how little doctors take the time out to teach patients when it comes to like nutrition and stuff, but like they don't really take the time out to do that. But anyways, we would love for our tribe to get to know you better. So can you tell us a little bit about like your background and what led you to become a chiropractor?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm actually a second generation chiropractor. My dad, who he graduated from Palmer College of Chiropractic main campus. They call it the Fountainhead out there in Davenport, Iowa. He graduated in 79. So he's been a chiropractor for a really long time. Huge inspiration to me. Obviously, it wasn't something that I had chose chiropractic until later in life. I also have a cousin who's local here. He's probably about 10 years further along than I am. And he was also someone who took chiropractic to a different, I guess, avenue with more sports focused. And that really excited me too, to work with athletes. So rewinding, my dad took care of more families and people who were in accidents and a little bit of sports. And then my cousin, you know, same thing. And then also the sports part was really one of those things that got me super, super excited about, just fixing that high level athlete. So, dove into undergrad, you know, for 5 years over at Kent State University up here in Kent, Ohio. And then I headed off to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Florida, which was opposite coast of you guys over there in Port Orange, just south of Daytona.
Yeah. And, that's pretty well known, right?
Oh, yeah. So Palmer, it would be the Harvard equivalent of chiropractic school. So it's the best school. Most may argue that. I know I'm gonna get a lot of people out there from Logan and Life and other schools that are like, no, we're the best. But anywho, the education there, the curriculum, after looking through it all, that fulfilled my goals, moving forward. So they had a great sports program, which, you know, we were at the beach working on, surfers. We were at different golf events, you know, football, basketball. We were always out doing, nice. You know, 5Ks, just adjusting feet, adjusting shoulders, you know, things outside of just the spine. But Florida was awesome because obviously I'm up here. And so being down there for, you know, for 4 years was just really, really great to be that close to the beach. And, on your off day, you could go to the ocean, you know, who wouldn't love that? So, I highly recommend that for anybody who's actually looking into going to chiropractic school. You know, you could take nothing wrong with Iowa, but it's just cornfields. And then you go to south to Daytona and you've got the beach, man. There's no comparison.
It's a nice place.
Arguably the same price too. Same student.
Oh, wow. Good after. To know.
Yeah. Wow. So, but anyway, so yeah, second generation chiro, and I really, just can't appreciate enough how, you know, just they've taken me under their wing to kind of show me things. Now, graduating school, I never wanted to be in business with my dad or my cousin. I wanted to blaze my own trail. You know, I wanted to start my
good
own
for
thing
you, man.
And my vision. And, you know, if my dad, if he listens to this, which I'm sure he will, you know, I think it hurt him a little bit coming out of school because I think he had this vision of me working with him. But I'm glad we have the same passion, but my vision was just a little bit different. And then I wanted to make sure that I started my own thing and nothing was ever handed to me. As you guys saw, my office is an 11 by 13 room. It's probably the smallest chiropractic office in the world. But I just make sure that was my goal. And we can talk about, I do make it work. I love it. And so that's kind of, you know, where I didn't want to have a big overhead because I didn't want to have the stress of having to see a high volume amount of patients to lose that patient focused care. Cause I really wanted to make each person feel like an individual and people deserve that, you know? So, I have a very low stress situation where I'm at. I love it. So, but anywho, so, you asked about me. So I have a beautiful wife. Allie and I have known each other for about 13 years coming up here in February. We met at college. She's been with me through everything. She's an amazing person. And whenever you are listening to this, Allie, love you very much. Thanks for always being by my side. We have two dogs, as we went over earlier. They're awesome. I'm sure they're not listening, but you guys are awesome. I'm sorry. But anywho, yeah. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell, man. I really just I love what I do every day. I just come in here and grind it out. And some days I don't leave till 9 or 10 at night. But whenever that last person's done being taken care of, that's when I go home. So.
Well, dude, your dad should be proud. You know, your dad should be proud that he raised someone who wants to blaze his own trail. You know, I think that like, are probably a subconscious fear as parents, is that we're going to raise our kids to be independent and they're going to actually be independent and do their own thing. But that is like, that is the best thing that's like the best gift that you can have. Like, you know, that your child has not only chosen the field that you love, but now, you know, this person wants to do it their own way and blaze their own trail and doesn't want, you know, any help. I you know, I think your dad will be proud, man, honestly.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I know he is proud. It just took him a little while to understand where I was coming from. And yeah, so that's that.
Very cool, man. Well, yeah. I guess I'll ask you the next question. So here we, and we've, we've spoken about this offline, you and I. And so, you know, I'm going to preface this by saying, keep in mind that nothing is off limits for us. You know, we are the crunchiest, hippiest, woo-wooiest people that you know. All right. So
that's why we get along. Because that's all I know about me.
Yeah, man. So, like, you know, I want you to kind of, maybe we can, you know, when you mention these, we'll pick what we can go deeper into. But what would be, you know, some areas that can be affected by, you know, improper alignment of the spine and all the things that can happen, like, you know, all the things that, you know, that you can treat as a chiropractor?
Sure. So obviously, me speaking to you as an individual, you know, weeks ago when you guys were up here, I try to poke fun at everybody that comes in here. I try to make it light, try to make it fun. But when they leave here, I want them to remember a few key points. And the one preface I like to always start with is, you know, chiropractic doesn't have as much money as, let's say, like the medical field. So there's a lot of research out there for different medicines to look a certain way on paper. And there's a lot of money going into pockets that we just don't see that in chiropractic. So a lot of this, and I think a lot of chiropractors out there may agree, it's subjective. A lot of the things that I'll go over is patient feedback from me. And then when you see that 20 times over, 50 times over, 100 times over, you start to see trends on, you work on this area of the body, this is the benefit that you start to see unfold. So when you guys were in here, and I always kind of let people know that in my one off, in my only treating room, there's a poster and it's the side view of the spine. And then it's all the nerves that go out to the different organs. Above that is a blackboard, a whiteboard, but flip black. And I have a pie chart on there and it's divided into three parts of the pie. So I'm trying to build a little picture here for the audience. There's two 10% slices of this pie and the rest of it is 80%. That would equal 100%, obviously. And the one 10% slice, I do a little drawing off to the side and it says sensory. And then I write underneath it pain. So the way I try to describe that is 10% of someone's nervous system, whether I'm working in their lower back, mid back, or neck, arguably 10% of that is going out to things you feel. So if you felt pain, if you had felt like the hot stove and you burnt your hand and you pulled back the feeling of that hot stove, that's about 10%. So I'm trying to let people appreciate, you know, what you feel is only a small part of the picture. Now, the next 10% slice goes to motor. So if you think motor, I tell my patients, if you think motor, think muscles. So again, if someone has a muscle spasm or they have a muscle imbalance, or let's say they were doing bicep curls and they feel like the one arm fatigues at rep 6 with that given weight, and then the other arm fatigues at rep 10, 11, 12, there's an imbalance there. So a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, or maybe they do realize that there's an imbalance, but they're thinking that's the big picture. So if you combine those two 10% slices, that's only 20% of the picture, but that's what 100% of the people, or I'd say 99.9% of people come in to see me. They think back pain or muscle pain, fix me, doc. And I'm thinking, well, you guys haven't even gotten the big picture of chiropractic.
Right.
So the other 80% of the pie is basically what every chiropractor should sit down and tell their patients in my eyes is, hey, every time you come in to get adjusted, 80% of your nerves go out to organs. So every time that you get adjusted, your body is literally pressing reset on the system that controls your body and how healthy you are and how you can optimize the immune system, your sleep system, your energy system. So to me, that's what like gets me out of bed every day, is that no matter what, if somebody comes in with lower back pain and I adjust them in their lower back, you're taking pressure off nerves that go out to your bowels, your bladder, your kidneys, and then your male or female reproductive organs. So I always tell people, like, you know, if I'm adjusting your lower back, that's going out to pee, poop, and sex. So some people, after their adjustment, they'll have a great bowel movement. And then I'll kind of, you know, make poke fun that, hey, if you plug a lamp in, it's probably going to turn on. So if your brain starts to communicate, you know, and it's not, you know, it's not anything other than I try to explain to people almost like breaker switches. Like if one of your lower back spines are rotated and there's pressure on a nerve, the brain can't talk to that organ. But if you can realign it and start to teach the person how to move better, then the brain can have better communication with the colon. And then maybe you have more consistent bowel movements. Your body knows how to break down food a little bit more efficiently, et cetera. So that's the lower back. If I work into someone's mid back, I always try to show that there's benefits going out to the heart, the lungs, and then the big one is the stomach and digestion. So people will really find common issues like heartburn, indigestion, maybe even like shortness of breath type stuff. If there's pressure being administered through that mid back, you got to take pressure off that to let some of those things start to feel I guess, a balance again, neurologically speaking.
I got to interrupt you real quick because
go ahead.
Tell me you don't, this doesn't remind you of like the Cuban saying that we're like, tengo un aire la espalda, you know?
Oh, like,
when you have like, it has to be some sort of subluxation or something in the thoracic spine or something that's causing you to feel like you have an air pocket. And we always say in Spanish, like I have like an air bubble. I have an air bubble in my back. I can't breathe. Yeah, and it were and it totally, when you're talking about that, like that spoke to me. Like. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. That is, and that's what people will tell. Oh, just something feels stuck there. Can you just push on it? And you know, honestly, when you find you lay somebody down, it takes all the muscles out of it because they're not being erect standing up. You can feel, I mean, anybody at home, if you have a significant other or a kid, you know, you can lay them down on your bed on something soft and just kind of run your hand up and down the spine, down the middle. You'll feel these little tips and those are the bones and they should be pretty lined up, you know, symmetrically down the middle. If something is left or right of center and if you press on it gently, the person might be like, yeah, that doesn't feel right. You know, so if you haven't been adjusted before, you know, have somebody, go have somebody, you know, analyze that, have them give you a couple adjustments and see if you can't restore the function of that area of the spine. You'll probably feel benefits out to the organs just as well.
It makes perfect sense. And, you know, I think with people, a lot of people, I don't know, it depends on the type of person, but I think some people are, you know, hesitant to believe that until they actually experience it. And then, you know, you're not supposed to feel off like that. You're supposed to feel our bodies are designed to move in a certain way and we're supposed to feel normal. We're not supposed to feel like crap. Yeah. Of course, like there's diet and stuff,
but our lifestyle too, like our lifestyle now,
the sitting
and all
lack of walking,
lack of movement. I mean, this is, there's no way that this can't drastically like change the alignment. Like someone like Danny's mom, she was born with scoliosis, but she's also sits all day.
And she has no muscle tone. Yeah. So that allows it to progress quicker, I'm sure.
So great point. I'm going to run off with two more things. So I'll finish. So we talked lower back, we talked mid back, then I'll kind of poke some common things that we see improve by adjusting the neck. Cause this is always the hot topic. A lot of people are like, hey, if you adjust my neck, will my head fall off? And I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. Oh yeah. I got all the bodies in the back. You know, I just throw them out the window.
Yeah.
But, all kidding aside, like there are definitely ways to, adjust someone's neck or cervical spine that can be aggressive. That's not my goal ever. And so I think you have to kind of watch, maybe somebody had been to somebody, to another chiropractor earlier in their life that scared them. Maybe they didn't tell them it was coming and they regressively adjust their neck and then they lost that trust factor. So one of the first things I always do when I'm doing the neck is I always try to walk people through a visualization. You know, I'll hold their neck like I did for you guys. And even your kids, like I'd show them, hey, I'm going to take you right here. You'll feel me do a little push and then we'll come back to the middle. There might be a little audible noise. And that's just gas escaping from the joints. Is that okay with you? I always finish with that because if you lose someone's trust, they're never going to, I mean, you get one chance to really make that first impression. And so I always take it slow. So, you know, you had asked me in an off audio conversation, how does somebody look to find somebody in, you know, how do I know it's a good doctor? How do I know it's a good chiropractor for me? We'll get into that later in the show, but I want that to be something that people maybe like look for. Like, is the person patient enough with me? Are they walking me through things or is it just at their command? But anyways, if you're working in someone's neck, some of the benefits, you have to look to the very top part of the neck at C1 and C2, the atlas and axis. Center to that is your brainstem. It's arguably the thickest part of the spinal cord as it comes out of the brain. And if there's pressure on that, they say, the researchers, they say that the weight greater than the weight of a dime can actually cause things like headaches, dizziness, indigestion, balance issues, coordination issues, irritability, brain fog. And then you get into the sleep center and immune system. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it really can be an important part to align properly for people. And we can even talk about Dean later in the show too, about how we found stuff up there.
Go into that because that was super interesting to see.
Oh yeah. So your audience, I'm sure, is familiar with the kids. So and can you maybe do a little background on what happened there with the accident? Just kind of walk through and then I can kind of show you what I found.
Yeah. So he was basically, going across, he was crossing the street at an angle. So he was hit at an angle. So one side of his body was the
his right side.
The right side, I think, yeah, was the took side the that hit, took the right. That took the impact. And so
from then a car, though, like from a car, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Truck. No, because pickup truck.
Yes, because my audience may not know your guys' story. That's why I
was. Oh, yeah. Yes, our 4-year old, yeah, was basically hit and run over in our neighborhood by a truck, and he miraculously
sitting. He was sitting on a little thing.
He was sitting on a little tiny scooter, Ziggle scooter, close to the ground. And he's a miracle, and he's absolutely 100% okay. He's outside of this room with his other brother playing with the nanny right now. So
that's awesome.
He's in great shape, and
but he did have to wear a.
Yeah.
He did have to wear a collar for about a month.
Yeah.
It was just some torn like ligaments, nothing serious. In the cervical spine, I think it was between C2, C1, they said.
Was it? It was not lower?
Yep. I think it was up there. Okay. And they showed me like the neurosurgeon showed me like the before and after pictures and how like they look at the shading or whatever. But other than that, you know, that's all that he really had, you know, like all his scans were okay, but you know.
So let me interject. I have a question. Right. So, and that's everything that you guys could find from like an objective standpoint. Hey, I got like, this is what we're thinking happened to him. You had mentioned there wasn't any fractures, right? Which was pretty amazing.
No fractures.
Yeah, man. No fractures, okay, so, nothing to his skull or internal.
And he's
organs.
4 years old. He's a little right. body. Incredible. Right.
So now, then what I was going to ask you is, before you guys had come up here for your little Ohio vacation, had you noticed anything going on with him, like a little bit like fatigue, maybe spaced out, or like not sleeping well or not digesting food well, or did all that pretty much kind of resolve?
Gosh, it's hard to tell with him because he's always kind of low energy. But right. I will say that I did notice an improvement after the adjustment. So,
yeah.
Well, so yeah, but I was thinking was like from car accident to when we had met, like, did you notice anything kind of going down with his, like,
you know, the
personality
thing is,
or like maybe something was off?
Well, it's so hard to tell because, you know, so much of that was like recovery period. And then his overall, attitude and his overall, just the way his way of being was actually better because I think he had a lot of quality time with us and a lot of quality time with me. Like our relationship in that period of time got, you know, you can ask Maura, like he.
But it's kind of sad in a way. It's almost like, because he, you know, he has a lot of sensory, he's got basically sensory processing disorder. So he's very sensitive to smells and touch and taste and sound.
Everything. It's crazy. Everything. I could be opening a bottle of apple cider vinegar across the room and he's
and
like,
he can't
ew.
Deal with it. Yeah.
And he's not even looking at me, man.
And
I'm
then,
just like,
sure. And then so just like that experience in the hospital, like where, you know, you've got the blood pressure cuff, everyone is touching you, like you are being like sensory overload.
Bed to bed.
I don't know. In a way, I almost feel like it kind of broke his will a little bit.
Like on the second day.
And so it's almost like he kind of gave up. Yeah. And so it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But,
well,
but
so
no,
here's
but
what I was
mean,
digging for.
Yeah. So tell me.
What? Oh, yeah. Cause, okay. Obviously, like now we're adults. So we were a baby at one time, but, you know, when we fall as a kid, I think, again, we'll point to the they say that we fall as much as an infant learning how to walk that would hospitalize an adult. So we take traumas to our spine, our head, you know, learning how to lift our head as a baby and start to get up on all fours and then crawl and then get up and stand and we fall. So my whole point of being this, that wasn't that simple. He got hit by a car. So a lot of times when the spine goes out of alignment like that, you might see a dip in the body's ability to digest food, process the outside information. Maybe they were getting more fatigued, more tired throughout the day. Maybe his energy seemed off, but you didn't notice any of that, which is even more of a miracle. So my kind of wheeling this back into why a parent may want to have their kids checked, right? For having a chiropractic adjustment, see if there's any, you use the word subluxation. I feel like that's such a great word, but it's definitely not a lot of people have always heard.
Yeah, that's how they told me.
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay. So now I'm going to be honest with you. You're the 1%. You're that unicorn that knows the word. Most people out there are like, what's a subluxation? You know, so I'll end up putting it in a simpler form and I'll say, you know, this is a spinal misalignment or this one feels out of place. It depends who I'm talking to, but I try to always stress the importance of what it does when it is out of place. So a lot of chiropractors still use the S word. But I try to make it to where people can kind of understand where I'm coming from without getting too nerdy. So back with Deanie, because you had asked me to kind of go into that. First of all, it was pretty awesome to see how he went from remember how you kept looking back, like, what are you doing to me? Like, kind of almost like checking to see, like, am I a good guy? Now, we worked on you guys, both of you first. So he kind of got to see what was going on. But anywho, so upon analyzing, if you don't want me sharing, he had a couple of ribs. So just to kind of get people who maybe aren't familiar with the anatomy, you have your spine. There's seven bones in the neck, and then you've got 12 bones in your mid back, and you've got 5 in your lower back, and that leads to the tailbone and pelvis. And then in the mid back, all 12 bones have ribs that kiss the spine on the back, and then some of them wrap around to the sternum. If you could visualize someone being hit from the right side by a person, let's say a football player getting tackled while reaching up for a pass, there's nothing but ribs there and muscle that have to take the blow to that impact. Now, Dean was sitting on a scooter, so his head was probably at the level of almost like the fender of the car. So again, it's amazing that he was as okay as he is. But after the dust had settled, it had been a couple of months, and now I'm the first person that got a chance to help him. It was incredible to feel what that impact did to the spine, because he had a few misalignments in that upper neck, and then where the neck meets the upper back, kind of like in the trap muscle area, a few of his ribs were out of place. And as a little kid, if that didn't get fixed, that could have led to who knows what. He probably just wouldn't have been feeling very comfortable in his body. So
yeah, we would have
known that. As a growing child, would that affect, you know, if you have compromised innervation, like, I'm assuming it can affect his growth. I mean, this is just a guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Would you say
so
that?
So go back to that pie chart. Yeah. Go back to that pie chart that I described earlier. So 10% of that nerve goes to things he feels. 10% of that nerve goes to the muscles. And if it's not getting even innervation left side versus right side, could that muscle have maybe less not tone? Grown as developed? Yeah. Less tone, less ability for the brain to contract it when it wanted to. Who knows if he ends up being, is he right-handed or left-handed? Like if he were to throw a ball.
Right-handed.
Probably right. Yeah. Okay. He uses both but a lot of kids do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's say that, you know, he was trying to throw a ball. Would he not have as much coordination with the one side? You never know, because that's situational. And I don't know. I feel like the powers above kind of led us to meet each other. Right. So it was cool that we got to help him. So I don't know, like he's in a different vehicle now. It's not all banged up. He's got a little bit better, hopefully tread on his tires, and then he can just express his life as a kid, you know, and then I guess we'll just cross the bridge whenever we meet again, you know? So
I love it.
But yeah. So hopefully that helps answer some questions. But I always tell parents, like, listen, like your kid may not complain of pain, but they're physical. Kids fall, they're playing outside, they're wrestling, they're, you know, and the things to look for, I think, are how's their energy, how's their sleep patterns, and how are they digesting food? And that's at the young age. So a lot of times infants will come in, the mom's like, hey, it's colicky, or the dad's like, hey, he's not sleeping well, he's fussy. You check a baby, sometimes it was how they were in the mommy's belly or how they were pulled out from the doctor. So there's so many variables, and we were all there at one point. So if you're out there and you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and you've never been to a chiropractor before, go get checked. Like, see how much better you could feel, because you don't know until you've tried it, you know? So
I've only had good experiences with chiropractors. I do know we have had some scary, not so good experiences, but gosh, if I could
make
an adjustment, I don't know. What would you say is like the deal? Like if you could just do whatever you wanted, like how often did people get adjusted?
Oh yeah. So, and you're going to ask me because I know I need to be getting it more than I. Yeah. So if somebody were to come in,
I want to get adjusted as much as I need to.
Yeah. So if somebody literally looked at me and said, hey, I want to come in once a week, why would I ever tell them no? If they like how they feel, you know, every 7 days, that's on them. I typically find most of my athletes will come once or twice a month. Typically, if they're going to be doing CrossFit 5 days a week, you know, they'll come in, hey man, I just hit, you know, 10 workouts in the last 2 weeks, put me back together. And then if we're trying to work through and put a fire out,
it depends
on
the situation too. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So if you're looking at wellness care, if somebody's like, hey, I just want to feel good, I want to keep it I feel better when I'm adjusted. Once or twice a month would be great. If somebody's, you know, really active and they had an injury, they might have to be seen a little bit more, but that's going to be one of those touchy subjects where some chiropractors will see you multiple times a week for a month. That will never come out of my mouth, because I feel like if I spend more time with my patients, they're going to get better off of that approach. But it's a business for some people, so I'd have to respect that option too. But yeah, for me, I like to get adjusted twice a month. That keeps me in alignment so I can work on you guys. So
that sounds
that's good. Yeah. I feel like that would be better, like maybe like a A twice a month visit, and then like maybe a once, or if you can afford it, twice a month visit with like a massage therapist
that
knows you. 100%. Yeah. Yep. 100%. Those are really, really good options and suggestions for people, I think.
Yeah, I felt incredible. I mean, after the adjustment, and I did notice even with the kids. Desmond said he felt amazing. He felt amazing.
Do you remember how much energy they had after?
They were sprinting,
and that's what I noticed. Yeah, increased energy. Yeah. Dean, honest, I'm like, it's hard to tell. You know, with life is so busy, so who knows? Like, there was probably symptoms going on that we just chalk up as other things. You know, diet or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But I did notice. You know, just he had an increase in mood, like stamina, because he does have like very low energy like me, and just like better. He was just overall better.
He was more like vitalized. Yeah.
More vital. That's a perfect word.
Like more vibrant. Yeah. He was sitting out in the waiting area, kind of just hanging out, and he wasn't quite sure if he wanted to come in. And his brother, you know, Desmond did it first. And then after the adjustment, remember he kept poking his head back in and kind of smiling like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, and kids aren't going to be like, well, that felt great, Dr. Jim. But they'll be like, they'll show you by just being themselves. I don't know. Yeah. Just that was so cute. Yeah. So thank you again for letting me help.
Pretending to be the Flash, of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That was really cute.
Man, Desmond was all about it.
That's cool. That's awesome. I have so many kids, to be honest with you, that come in here with their parents, and then, you know, maybe they're two, then they grow to a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. And now, like, some of the kids that I've helped in the past, they're getting ready to go into, you know, high school and stuff. And it's just amazing to see these kids grow. And you know, if they're playing sports or whatnot, they'll poke back in for a little tune-up here and there. So, yeah, man, chiropractic's for everybody. I really hope people after this podcast can start to think about ways to implement it into their life with their families, too. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. All right. So what about diet and like lifestyle changes in your practice? Do you like get into that with your patients, or is that something that's evolved for you over the years? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start with my own weight loss journey and kind of body recomposition. So, it's so funny because you guys and I spoke about so many things that day, but I think the only thing we didn't talk about was anything keto, which was just crazy because that's the whole reason that I even
why we met, right?
Interest in meeting. Right. So, I obviously, adopted a ketogenic lifestyle, and it's something I still do today. And I have put a little twist on it. So I'll be happy to share that with you guys too, for your audience. So, I used to be 235 pounds, big, bulky, always hit the gym, felt strong as an ox. And then I went down to chiropractic school, and all of my friends were from the South, and they were all lean. And then, you know, when you're in the South, you're in the sun all day. I think people just took care of their bodies more. Not to say that I was like not, but let's just say I wasn't where I wanted to be body composition wise. I felt strong. I was big, but I definitely wasn't leaned out like some of these guys. And I'm thinking, dang, like, all right, well, it's time to get my stuff together. So this was like 2009, 235, moving down there in August. And it is like scalding hot down there. And I'm like dripping sweat going from my car, putting my, you know, my stuff into my new apartment. And I'm like, oh my God, like I can't even believe, you know, look at what the humidity and everything. So I'm thinking, man, I really need to change it up or what have you. So oddly enough, within the first couple months of chiropractic school, we had a nutrition instructor who just kind of dipped into keto. It was more like Mauro Di Pasquale's book, Anabolic and Metabolic, the metabolic diet, the anabolic diet.
Oh, anabolic diet. That's such a good book. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's obviously for the audience out there, it's not a short read. It's 300, I think it's like 300 pages or so. And it's in depth, but it really does. I might be off on the number there. I can't quite remember. Edit that out. So the, this is my edit card for the day. The book itself is really one of those things where if somebody has no knowledge on nutrition, it does give them an understanding of what is a protein, what is a carb, what is a fat, and then it dives into how it balances, you know, the understanding of what it does to your hormones, fat storage, building muscle, et cetera. So the guy, you know, the nutrition instructor says, hey, you know, I'm going to go into a little bit for this test. If anybody wants to learn more about this, you know, meet me after class on one of these dates and I'll dive into it as much as you want to. I was the only person that showed up on that day, and oddly enough, ketogenic found me that way. And so I dove into it pretty hard back then. It's funny because I was still in that mindset of the bodybuilding, you know, 7 meals a day. And so when I did keto, he was telling me you can eat less and get the benefit of that. And I just couldn't get that through my head back then in 2009, thinking about well, if I don't eat, I'm going to shrink, or, you know, this or that. Still, remember, this is bulky gym back then. So, I kind of adopted 6 meals a day, went through, and I had a lot of, you know, mentally, I was just trying to figure out, like, I made these big slops of ground beef, bacon, and then I would melt cheese on it. I was pretty heavy in the dairy back then too.
Nice.
So, but I mean, I'm in class eating this stuff and people are like, oh my God, what is that smell? You know, it's awesome. And I'm like, I'm on this ketogenic diet, man. It's pretty cool. And then on the weekends, in that program, it was, you needed to carb up. So I'd go have, in the book, it's like, go have beer, go have pizza, have cookies. And then you get back on track after 24 to 48 hours. So to me, it was working. And I was like, well, man, I'm getting the best of both worlds. I can stay really focused during school in the zone, you know, and then on the weekends, I can let loose a little bit. So the problem was, like, you end up hitting it so hard on the weekends, you literally just came right back into that, whatever you lost, you gained right back. And then it was just week in, week out.
Like you're spinning your wheels.
Exactly. And it's really easy to get carried away. When you're eating that way, because when carbs hit the brain, man, it's like a drug. You're just like more. And so anywho, did that through school, really, you know, went from 235 down to about 200 over a comfortable 9 months. So really, really pleased with how I felt. I started to run the beach in the morning and at nighttime just to get out there. And at that point in time, my family lived out in Shanghai, China, believe it or not. So I had, my stepdad had a job out there for Harman Kardon Speakers. He was, so he worked out there and my family had to up and move. I do have a younger brother and sister, that also had to make that move. So it was one of those things where I had, conversations at nighttime and it was morning there for my mom, you know, so we would chat on the phone and I would walk the beach. And I'll tell you what, man, like just little by little, the weight just melted off. So it was very interesting. And when I moved back home in 2012, started working, for some reason, I just kind of didn't follow the plan. I think I was just hustling for the place that I worked for. And it was easy to grab food on lunch break. And anywho, I didn't follow keto. Then, about 2 years ago, jumped back on and added intermittent fasting. And so, I eat 2 meals a day or 1 meal a day, depending upon how busy my days may get. Today, like now I'm speaking over the course of like right now this month, I'll get up at 5 in the morning, take the dogs on their morning walk, take a little pre-workout, something to kind of get me going. Usually it's just a cup of coffee. And I'll head out to do my lunges for 25 to 30 minutes. And then I'll roll right into a workout. It's usually focused around high intensity, sprints, rowing. You know, I'm a big fan of rowing. Probably have called you out a couple times in there too.
Oh, dude. Then, I remember when you started right around the beginning of last year. Yeah.
Yeah, I did the 50,000 row with you guys. Yeah.
And then also the other thing was right around the beginning of January last or December of last year was when you were like all getting hyped up about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I was doing the whole daily posts on like what my times were with, and I was just following whatever you were putting up there. So thank you for that. So thank you.
My pleasure, bro.
Also, yeah. And then the day you're like, oh, man, was it her name, Rachel? Was that who else did it with you?
Oh yeah, Rachel.
Yeah. So I was texting you and her and just like, okay, what are we doing with this, sweet potato? Like, what are we doing to carbon up? And, But dude, that was awesome. I mean, it took me over 4 hours to get it done, but, we split it up throughout the day, just like you did. And it was awesome. So at the end of that, that was another, you know, check that one off as an accomplishment. So, but anyways, back to the diet. So I will typically work out in the morning, then I'll start to see patients. And if I do have a little bit of a window midday, I will definitely get like some ground beef, some bacon, something in there that's definitely keto friendly, maybe throw an avocado in there. And then I'll go back and see patients till nighttime. And when I get off, if I hadn't eaten at lunchtime, I will definitely smash. You know, I'll usually cook up a pound of ground beef or I'll have a big old ribeye. And then I like how I feel with an avocado. So I've been throwing that down too. And then the one thing I've been changing, which has really made a dramatic change, and I don't want to sway anybody's, you know, like focus away from what they're doing ketogenic wise, is I add a sweet potato, a pretty large one, right before bed with grass-fed butter and some cinnamon. And then I go to bed because as soon as I wake up in the morning, I feel that much more explosive for that workout, which most people are like, well, duh, you just had carbs.
Oh, but it's just, my gosh. You are such a bad person. You had a sweet potato.
Oh, no.
Stop it. Stop the recording. Yeah. Stop.
I know. I was going to get bashed for that one. But my point being is like, I went through the carnivore phase for about a year. I felt amazing, but I felt like my workouts weren't really as focused. And then I saw you were doing avocados. Man, that made a huge improvement. And
the avocados make a big difference. Definitely. When the volume's high
hydration.
And you, Dehydration. And it was the summer too. So like for us, it's like so humid and hot. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. So then that's it, man. I mean, typically one or two meals a day, and then I'll polish it up the night off with a little bit of a carb spike, but it has made me just feel that much more locked in for that next day. So I don't know, man, I'm going to roll with it. You know, the body changes, it adapts. So I'm sure at some point in the next 6 months, something else will come up. But you, Mauro, you had asked me a question about what I do in the office with nutrition. I'm not a nutritionist, but I like to say I'm a humongous nutrition nerd. I'm always reading articles. I'm always trying to dive into it myself to therefore give a recommendation. So, yes, I don't push one thing or the other. I think if people can, if they want to call themselves paleo or they want to call themselves keto to make them feel like they're following a plan, that's fine. But at the end of the day, I want them to stay consistent with something that they can do over and over again. Not just for a week. Cause some people will do something and they're counting macros. Then next time I see them a month later, they're like, oh, that didn't work for me. And I'm like, well, I've been doing something for years and it's still evolving for me, you know? So it's back to that overtime, overnight fix. People want to, you know, they want to look like the model on a magazine overnight. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, you have to stay consistent with your training, your mindset and your nutrition. And, yeah, I just feel like that's one of those things that I'm right there with you guys on. It's pick something you can successfully work at and stay consistent with every day. Win the day is what I tell people.
And always be open to learn new things, you know?
100%. Yeah, I wanted to stay keto. I wanted to stay, like, I don't touch carbs. But, like, I just feel a little bit better when I do have them. So, my family are all diabetics. There's heart disease over there. So, it's one of those things where if I do too much sweets, I crash. But if I hit just that sweet spot where, like, it's not tipped one way or the other, I feel locked in. You know, I'm not going to lie. I really, I'm glad I made that decision and I don't feel bad about it. You know,
well, so. Dude, let's see. I want to say, let's look at what a sweet potato. I'm going to look at probably like an 8 ounce, right? That's the typical size of a sweet potato.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So 8 ounces of sweet potato is 45.4 carbs. Okay. Of which 7 are fiber. So, and 9.5 of which are sugar. So like, even if, and now this is something that I have to be careful because I'm talking about, you look at Jim. Jim is a very athletic guy. Jim is lean. He's active. Right. And, you know, keto is typically what they'll say is, you know, 50 carbs or less a day. And a lot of times people say 50 net carbs. So there can be people that are consuming 70 carbs total a day with 20 grams of fiber and sure. or 30 grams of fiber, you know, and they're at 40 or 50 net carbs. So, you know, if you're not having that many carbs a day and your only source of carbs, like I would be the only exception and the only way that I would say that maybe you don't wake up with ketones is because, you know, you have it before, you know, kind of close to bed. But sure. That being said, it's possible. In fact, you got me curious to test one of these nights just to like say, hey, screw it. I'm going to have a sweet potato before bed and test my ketones in the morning and see what happens. But like,
well, I do this too. Try that workout, like try a normal workout that you would do, but hit it right away in the morning if you can with the kids and stuff. But
yeah.
Make sure that and judge it subjectively because I can't tell you how, like, I mean, I wear a, like my Apple Watch, it's a, it'll show me, you know, the calories burnt based upon whatever I put in there. So I'll put high intensity interval training and I'll just go. On average, the place I work at, no names. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but the, you guys probably know what I was talking about, but the, I'm burning between 700 to 900 and even sometimes over 1,000 calories in that 1 hour. And I'm not kidding you. Like I tested on two different heart rate monitors too. So it's pretty spot on within 5 calories. Per each other. So every day I'm putting those carbs right to good use. Now, if somebody gets up in the morning and then goes sits at work all day, but they had that sweet potato the night before, I don't think that's going to be something that's going to benefit them body composition wise or how they feel as much as me putting it to good use in the morning. Cause it's just, I've been there. If I ate all those carbs and the next day I don't move, you feel sluggish, you feel tired, cranky, your hydration's off, you know? So but I'm consistently in there every day doing the same thing over and over again. So again, there's a big asterisk to adding the sweet potato at nighttime, but I know if I have it, I need to get up and move the first thing in the morning. So I don't know if that helps put a little perspective on the why.
No, and it does. But like this is, look, I'm going to tell you guys something right now. I am a, for me, keto awesome. And I don't really need carbs. I know I got a friend, Mike Peltz, you met him, who is, you know, jiu-jitsu now, just like me, the old powerlifter, just like me. And he's played around with increasing carbs. He's just told me, like, recently, like, if he has, like, too many carbs, like, if he tries to eat more carbs, like sweet potato or something,
yeah,
his heart rate variability goes down and he doesn't sleep as well, according to his heart rate.
Oh, nice.
And, but that being said, there's all of this, you can't just make blanket statements. All of this for right. different people works different.
It depends.
And there's this study that came out recently that, you know, I'm not going to be out here talking about it, but we get to be talking about the maximum rate of ATP synthesis from fat oxidation is about 0.4 millimoles of ATP per minute, while glycogen breakdown can generate 1.0 to 2.0 millimoles per minute, roughly a twofold to fivefold difference. Now, what that means is it's not quite applicable to everybody, but if you're in a very, very high intensity type of training, it may be that you are carbs may be a better source for you, you know, and depending on what you're doing. But like, you know, you can go, and then there's the other side, the FASTER study that shows that, you know, as a fat adapted athlete, you can go at a higher percentage of your VO2 max using fat as energy. And that's a good thing. But like all this to say that we can't be dogmatic. There's one thing that we want you to understand from this podcast. And I know this is a family podcast, but when we're talking about nutrition, we are open to seeing like where everything can be used within a whole foods, paleo, low carb, keto approach. Okay, so right. if there's a sweet potato, an organic sweet potato being used to improve performance, that's totally fine. And I had to just go on that little rant because, you know, there's a lack of awareness. And, you know, we're always talking about, we want people to think, you know, like, yeah, you can just make it simple and say, eat less than 20 carbs a day and just try to give a one size fits all approach to people. We don't want to do that. We want people to think about what is best for them. And especially if they're a high performance athlete, like if you're a family where you got one of your kids is an 800 runner or maybe one of your kids runs a 2 mile, you know, the 2 mile runner may be doing much better with keto, but then, you know, the 400 to 800 runner may be better with some carbs, you know? And as long as they're
correct.
Not yep. a bunch of crappy carbs and they're eating whole foods,
yeah, more quality.
Then that's okay because they're super insulin sensitive. And, you know, as long as they're not eating junk and they're not, there's a purpose for those carbs for yep. a performance purpose, yep. then that's okay. So anyways, back to the whole, yes. you're talking about like what you do and what you tell your patients and all that. Yeah. So back to that.
Yeah. So, and again, I think the bottom line there is helping them feel, you know, pick something that they can consistently be successful with day in and day out. So if that is exactly. counting macros, if it is keto, if it is paleo, low carb, I don't push one way or the other, but if they almost like if I could be their computer and they double clicked on a file, okay, Jim, tell me what you know about keto. And then it opens up and I'm like, okay, here's what I know. This is what I do. Low carb. Here's what I know. Here's what I don't know. Right. Maybe here's somebody who can point in the right direction. So it's just one of those things where I don't want to be too one way or the other. I know what works for me. I'm pretty knowledgeable about a couple of different things. I'm no expert, but I feel like I have a pretty, you know, good sense of knowledge to help people make the best decision or at least a decision confidently.
Now I want to ask you this, like, do yeah. you have some like non-negotiables that if they tell you, okay, you know, like, you know, what should I be staying away from? Are there any,
is yes,
there
I
like
do.
A short, okay. What would that
yeah,
be?
I do.
Good. Gotta happen.
Yeah. So
you gotta have some non-negotiables, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, whoever's listening to this that I've helped in the past, they're going to be laughing, but 100%. I mean, for people who are, especially that person who's just not staying consistent with it, they're the person who tried macros for a week or two or a month, or maybe they used keto for a bit and then, oh, it didn't work for me. There's just that negative mindset. The first yeah. thing I'll try to ask them to get rid of, or maybe it's the big three, but it's, you know, watch your sugar and, you know, yeah. especially you got the person who at nighttime just wants to drink some wine before bed, but that's their choice every night. It's not just like a right. once every 2 weeks right. thing. Or maybe some craft beers, you know, these things are delicious, but there's things in them that make them delicious that, cause you to do them over and over again, like a drug. So, and I'm not anti-sugar. Yeah. There's nights that, you know, we'll eat a little bit more loosely. But there's just too many things that can increase inflammation in the joints, in the muscles, and it can delay healing. So there's a time and place for them, but, you know, used over and over again, I don't think that's a good choice. Also, I think people need to be aware of, you know, gluten and dairy. I put heavy cream in my coffee today, but I haven't had coffee in a while. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to be ready for this podcast. I'm going to put a little fats in there. I also haven't eaten yet today, and it is, it's about 2:15, you know, so it's, I feel great. I feel locked in. But I also know for some people, dairy can cause an insulin spike similar to having sugar, especially if they have, you know, if they're just overweight. You guys probably have covered that before too, but gluten, dairy, and sugar are the big three that I kind of think people need to just read the labels, pay attention to what's going in their mouth. And that's a great place to start.
Good point, man.
How about you guys? Like, well, I mean, I'll flip it back on you. What do you tell people? I mean, I know like, sugar there's so many. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sugar and we've recently added like vegetable oils.
Oh yeah. Well,
that's like a non.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
At this point. Cause I feel like that is just causing.
Oh yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Any problems.
Yeah, they're called neurotoxins. I mean, that's a whole other thing if you guys want to keep the neuro. Yeah.
That stuff like oxidizes just sitting there.
Yeah, so. What's the other word for the toxins? It's those bad fats that are
I don't remember.
Like rancid kind of stuff or no?
Yeah, but trans? Actually in your actual body, I'm thinking of It's a marker actually that you can look at.
Check.
Yeah. And it's due to those basically toxic rancid fats.
It'll come to you. Well, so here's another thing too. So like if somebody just as important as them eliminating, you know, sometimes if they have abused their body inflammatory wise, they're looking for, hey, what's an option for me not to take Tylenol or Advil or Aleve? And a lot of times, like I'll start to make the suggestion of like, something with EPA and DHA to the form of 1 to 2 grams a day, like in a fish oil. If people can't do fish oil, they can, there's other options out there, different oils that they can get that in. But, you know, that's been shown to eliminate, you know, inflammation very easily. Also, you and I, you know, we're familiar with, sauna, like getting in the sauna for 20 minutes, a couple times a week. That's natural. You know, there's no drugs involved there. And then another great one is like a curcumin or a turmeric product, something that can help in the spice department, help lower inflammation. Those are all really promising things that I feel like people could add in.
Yeah.
Well, dude, yeah. Like, so just back to, I mean, I think we just adding to that list. So definitely like minimizing the sugar, definitely no grains.
It's like processed stuff in general.
Processed stuff. So like the vegetable oils is super processed. And then like pretty much all the sweeteners, like I'm a little bit more loose with the sweetener. I can do like a little bit of stevia here and there. Maura's just like anti all of it. And I'm not, it's not that I'm having it. Like, am I having a lot of sweetener, my love?
No.
Only times I'll have a sweetener is if someone sends me something and I try their stuff, but I'm not out there.
It does affect you.
So I actually remembered what I was thinking about. I was thinking about endotoxin. Yeah. So
endotoxins. Yes.
Yeah. And the other name for that is, LPS. So like lipopolysaccharides. Yeah. LPS. Yeah. So you can see those and that's where some people will say, well, you know, high fat diets associated with increased LPS. And then you start to look at, you know, what type of fat they're having. And of course,
it's the vegetable oils.
And it's the, so all that to say, whatever. I mean, we definitely eat real food, you know, keep the sugar as low as possible. You know, below 10 grams a day is a super easy thing to do. I mean, if you're eating real food, you know, and if you do have,
stick to real food, like stay. Well, that's for
keto. Like if you're paleo, then you can have sometimes 20 grams of sugar a day. If you're someone who's really active, you know, and then of course, you know, the vegetable oils, like just at all costs, just avoid them, you know, but I'm not talking about, when I talk about vegetable oils, we're not talking about, you know, macadamia oil, olive oil, avocado oil.
We're talking about like
soy and peanut
cotton
oil
seed
and
cotton, oil.
Yeah. All of these.
All these weird.
Oh yeah.
Canola. Yep.
Yeah. So,
and for the kids, I do want to say, because
it's
so harmful and you see the effects almost immediately, the food dies, guys.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff is like pure poison.
That's legit. Yeah. It's
that
awful.
Stuff legit will turn your child. It'll give your child ADD. If they didn't have it, well, now they do. Okay. It'll make your child act crazy. Okay. Like I've seen it. Like from 1 minute to the next. I'm like, whoa, buddy. Like, it's so,
yep,
so scary. But yeah, that stuff, it's gotta go. Nope. And teach them how to read labels. We're like, read the label.
Yeah, that's a great point too.
Yeah, read labels, learn all the sneaky names for stuff. Learn all the
sneaky names, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting because we've had this conversation. We've just been talking and all of a sudden, like, more than an hour's gone by. And I think we're going to have to, like, come back into this Absolutely. Another time and dive into, like, specific subjects like athletes. I would love to talk about it for athletes.
Yeah, like recovery, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And mobility. Remember, we were talking about some ideas with that down the road.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Mobility. And, you know, that's another thing that we talk about. You know, you guys got to follow Rubber City Cairo because he does have a lot of great stuff on his Facebook and his Instagram on mobility and movement. But before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one more thing because we've spoken about this. And, you know, when we spoke to you, we're like, look, we just appreciated your bedside manner with the boys, you know, asking permission before you did everything. And so, like, now, hopefully, if someone's interest is piqued and they want to see how they can use chiropractic and incorporate it, what should they be looking for if they're trying to incorporate it? And you know, what they should they be looking for, like, in a practice or, you know, a DC? And what should they, like, what are some red flags, possibly? And knowing that, you know, you can be as politically correct as you want to be, so you don't want to offend
sure.
your fellow chiropractors.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yes. So, and that's the first thing I'll lead off with. And those out there who maybe run their office a certain way, it's a business for a lot of people out there, you know. At the end of the day, they want to serve the numbers and that, you know, also, you know, obviously bigger paycheck when they go home. I'm not saying my way is better or different. I think when you ask the question about, the bedside manner, how did you feel you were affected, you know, upon leaving, you know, were you taken care of? Were you listened to? Did you feel like, you know, there was a good bond between you two? A lot of doctors, they cut it off. They don't want there to be an emotional, connection there or, anything beyond, oh, 90 seconds went by. See you later. You know, pay Mary on the way out. You know, it's just one of those things where you want to be taken care of. Maybe it's just how I was raised or where I'm from, but, people really appreciate a little bit of a slower pace and being taken care of and being listened to. And I think that helps cut down on the anxiety of the whole experience and then maybe being hesitant to just be another number in someone's office. So I really don't have a particular or a specific, like, here's a brochure of how to find your doctor, but really it's like you can hire and fire any of your doctors, you know, so find somebody that you gel with, somebody who maybe dives into those workouts. If you're a CrossFitter, someone who's getting, you know, their elbows deep in those, you know, those, whatever it is, workouts or running a 5K or running a marathon, or maybe somebody who's got an interest in certain parts of nutrition, but just find somebody who kind of matches what you do. A lot of social media platforms out there, but I don't see a ton of chiropractors. You know, I don't see a lot of physical therapists, you know, putting content out there, but I'm really easily accessible. You know, you guys can reach out to me on a question and I try to get back to somebody the same day with a legit response, you know, and I don't want everybody to come to Akron, Ohio for me to put, you know, my hands on them. That's not my goal. It's more or less, you know, if I can help you find somebody in your neighborhood, you know, I went to Palmer College of Chiropractic. I know I said that earlier in the show. It's a great school. Not everybody is the same. After school spits them out, what stresses, did they get a big overhead for their office? I'm in the smallest office in the world. I have to believe that, you know, I'm inside of a yoga studio at one of my locations and I'm inside of a CrossFit turned into a athletic training center in my other office. I love both places, but 2 days a week, I'm at a very Zen location, a very chill location. The other place I'm at a very high intensity.
Is that the one
you guys are at the yoga studio? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was very Zen.
Next time you guys come up, we'll go to the other place and we can get a workout too, because that place is awesome. There's so many toys up there. Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Sculpt Fitness Group Training Center. So, I think to bring it back, you got to find somebody who really, you know, just good bedside manner. They listen to you. You feel like you left there a better person than when you walked in the door.
Well, dude, that's
perfect.
Yeah. There's no better way to end in that way. So, man, I want to thank you so much. But before we let you go, I know I said it. Can you let everyone know where they can find you online so they can, you know, learn from you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm probably the most active on Instagram. The features on there for the Instagram stories. You guys will find every day a rear end view of my dogs. Every morning I walk them in the morning. It holds me accountable, but it's also like two fuzzy butts looking at you, you know, in the morning. So, and then of course, like I'll implement, you know, maybe help. It's day 53, you know, walking lunges. It may get repetitive, but it also might get somebody off their couch to, all right, he's done this for 53 days. I can try day one, you know? And then I also put a lot of good mobility tips out there. I shoot live videos here and there on the Instagram platform as well as Facebook Live. The office landing page for Facebook is just Rubber City Chiropractic. If for those of you out there who may not understand, Akron is the Rubber City. So, you know, Goodyear, all the different tires. This is like the capital of the world. So, Rubber City Chiropractic and same thing on Twitter. So at Rubber City Chiro, Instagram is at Rubber City Chiro. There's a YouTube page, but it's not really anything that's super organized. It's more or less like a bunch of videos that, again, just kind of get people, oh yeah, that looks cool. Let me try that. You know what I mean? So, but for people who are looking for specific instruction, you know, always reach out. And if I can help you find somebody in your neighborhood, I'm happy to do so.
Love it, man. Thank you so much again for coming on, man. We're so grateful for you. And
we definitely have to have you back. Because there's more to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Anytime. I thank you guys. I'll pause and flip it to you. Thank you so much for coming up to see me. I know it was a little bit of a drive, but you guys were so awesome to meet in person. And I just really do appreciate your time and this opportunity. Thanks again.
Dude, of course. If we hadn't done it, we wouldn't have gone. Like, it all worked out perfectly because we wanted... When we did that, we were like, well, if we're going to go see him, we might as well go to Cleveland. And then if we're going to go to Cleveland, then we might as well. And then we ended up like, you know, trick or treating in Cleveland and going to that really good, what was it? Rebel? Yeah. We ate at that place called Rebel.
Oh, that place is great. Yeah.
Dude, so the good. Freaking the coconut flour naan.
The keto naan.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh,
that stuff was so delicious, good. Man.
Yeah. They can ship me some. It's so good.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to have to put like tag Rebel in this or something. They can like, you know, send us something, please, like in dry ice or something.
There you go.
But seriously, thank you, man. Thank you. I wanted to say to everybody, like, if you enjoy what we put out, if you enjoy this, please subscribe and please leave us a 5-star rating and review and spread the word about us. We really like, I know I've said this a million times, but we want to be leading a movement that's going to get families healthier and eating better and moving more and moving better and not all messed up and out of alignment. And if you guys can do that for us, then we can grow our platform and more people can know about this. Yeah. So thank you all. And until next time, I'll see you guys. Take care.